The music business was mean. Mean like Morrissey. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door, Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So we're back on the case, Tony, as
absolutely.
Always. Well, we never really give up, do we?
And well, this virus isn't stopping us, is it?
No, I mean,
if anything, we're working even harder. I want to get your views on something. Yeah. I was in the pharmacy the other day. I was sold a couple of face masks. Do you like the idea of them or not?
Oh, face masks is in a covering in order to stop you getting the coronavirus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like a beauty mask.
No, not a beauty mask. No, I only asked you because the first time I met you, you had this eye patch on.
Well, I'm all for facial coverings. They hide a multitude of sins and
skins.
But the only other thing I thought about was around my area, there used to be a lot of thugs who used to wear scarves around their faces at night and a hoodie, and you'd be scared of them. Now, when they're wearing their things around their faces, they're not scary at all. They just look like everyone else.
So anybody else, yeah.
So I think it's really cut down on my fear of being mugged and also taken away their kind of menace. And, you know, they could be after my my valuables.
Do you think possibly there is room for somebody to manufacture a really scary face mask for the people
some.
That go around mugging people so that at least you know...
You know when you're being mugged. I'd like to know when I'm being mugged and not being mumbled at by a stranger that maybe, you know, my rucksack's open.
Yeah. And I'm doing things that I haven't done before. I planted some miniature runner beans the other day, which I never think of doing before. I used to plant loads of runner beans down the bottom of the garden. Big runner beans, you know, big boys. My runner beans were the talk of where I lived for a long time. And we had so many, I had to sort of ship them off into neighbours and things like that in barrows. Do you like runner beans?
Yeah, of course I do. I like all my vegetables. I made up a joke the other day, which I enjoyed immensely.
Can I hear it?
I might have told it to you before. When I'm flying to France, I always... order the vegetarian meal, so I get extra legume.
That's a very good vegetable joke.
Yeah,
can I do a similar joke to do with what you wear?
Yeah.
I wear French trousers. Too long, too loose.
Very good.
Well, summer is here. We've had the best May ever, haven't we? I've been out in the garden in my Speedos, looking like a golden god, giving the neighbours a little bit of a treat, to be honest with you. And sometimes in the summer, right in the middle of the day, you think to yourself, my golly, I'm thirsty. And there is nothing better, in my opinion, at any rate, than a delicious beer. It just sort of cools you down, doesn't it? But in these very strange times, a lot of people don't want to go to the shops. I don't particularly want to as well. So Beer 52 will bring the beer to you. This is amazing. And they've got a wonderful offer on at the moment as well. They're offering a free case of 8 craft beers, sourcing from the best breweries on the planet. All you need to do is to go to beer52.com/pop, P-O-P. That's a special code for all those of you listening now. You'll get treated like royalty if you use that code. And a cover of £5.95 for postage, but you're getting the 8 free beers as well. Each case is delivered direct to your doorstep. This is great news. So no need to leave the house. Looking to stock up? Now's your chance, I tell you. Beer 52 is the world's most popular craft beer discovery club with over 150,000 members. And they send a brand new case to you every month as well. This is the great thing. Each month, a case has a different theme. Now, past themes have included from New Zealand. I've never been there. I'd love to go. South Africa. I went there recently, actually, on holiday. Had a lovely time out there and had a few beers as well, I've got to say. More than a few beers. Anyhow, I haven't been to Korea. All over the USA and Europe. All these beers come from those areas. Now, not so mad. I don't mind it, but I'm not so mad about dark beer. I like light beer. So if dark beer is not your thing, you can simply choose the light option, and a case will come with the award-winning magazine Ferment. and a tasty snack. That won't last long, I tell you. Don't worry, though. If you do change your mind, at any time you can pause or you can cancel your account, so you don't have to worry about a darn thing, to be honest with you. And you're saying, Tony, how can I get this fantastic offer? Well, I'm going to tell you. All you got to do is to go to beer52.com/pop to get your first case of 8 beers for £5.95. So go to beer52.com/pop. I got a dash because I got to order the beer.
It was a complicated business, but they knew the nuts and bolts of it. Plus the screws and washers and wing nuts. Tools in hand, here come Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Okay, Ricky, let's see what cases we've got this week, shall we? Let's go to the answer phone.
One second before we go to the answer phone. I know this is not on our usual path, but I'd like to investigate something that's pertinent to myself at the moment, because it's been really bugging me for a few years, and that's the mysterious case of Gene Wilder's Twitter.
That sounds interesting.
So here's the case. Gene Wilder, fantastic actor.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory you're talking about.
It was immensely important in growing up. Brilliantly creepy, but not scary. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Now, Gene Wilder, he sadly passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
And I was moved to draw a little picture of him, and I put that up on the internet. And then as soon as I put it up, someone tweeted me saying, have you seen who he followed on Twitter when he was alive? So I clicked on Gene Wilder, and he followed 13 people, Tony. Just 13. Well, 13 accounts. Yeah. He followed Tom Hanks. Wow. He followed Dick Van Dyke, Richard Dreyfuss, Mel Brooks, and Mike Bloomberg. And those were the people he followed.
Yes.
And he also followed some organisations, which were the City of New York, Occupy Wall Street, New York Stock Exchange, and New York City Parks. But he followed one other person, and that was me. And I have no idea why. Right?
When did you find out that he was following you?
The day he died.
The day he died?
Yeah, so I never even had an opportunity to tweet him. So that's what I'd like to look into, this mystery of why Gene Wilder followed me. If it was him that had his account and followed me, all these questions that for the last 4 years have been swimming around in my tiny mind like tadpoles. I just need an answer, Tony, and I think you can help me figure this out. Is that something you think?
Absolutely, you can... yeah. I mean, it's pushing the boundaries a bit, I know. Do you really want to pursue this? Because the only reason I say this is because Gene Wilder following you, it's a great story. And it could be true, but if it isn't true, is that going to cause a lot of disappointment to you and perhaps put you into a deep depression during this difficult time?
I hadn't thought about that. You know, if it turned out that it was of no consequence at all, it might be upsetting, but it also might put a full stop under it and let me get on with my life.
Well, as Gene Wilder, as you said, is dead, we'll never really know. But what if we can try and reach from beyond the grave?
Wow.
I mean, we've never done that before in the
ages. No, we haven't.
So let's go beyond the grave. And I know an expert in this area. He's called Patrick Keller, the host of a big seance podcast in the States and is in Missouri at the moment. And can you get him on the conference line, Ricky?
I'll definitely try to. It'd be so interesting if we can find out. Okay, right, I'll get him on the conference call.
Lovely.
Dial him in. Here we go.
Right.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Hello to you, Patrick.
Hello, greetings.
How are you getting on with this isolation?
You know, I'm kind of a recluse in training, and so this is kind of my jam. And I don't have kids, so I get to sleep in and just enjoy.
It's great to hear from you, Patrick, because you deal in something that I'm very interested in.
Good.
I think everybody is on a certain level, which is anything in the great unknown. There's so many clues that have been dropped for us. I think that to totally dismiss it, you'd be a fool.
So how do you go about it, Patrick? I mean, if you want to get in touch with, say, Elvis or Marilyn Monroe or someone like that, can you actually do that?
Well, I have to tell you, my area of nerddom, or paranerddom is what I sometimes call it, I am not a medium. You know, I am not a psychic, although I have wanted to be for years now. And I've, you know, taken some courses and I've read 100 books and I've tried just about everything. But I fail at everything mediumship, but I think they're so fascinating. And my, you know, my biggest questions are always, what is life like over there on the other side? And do I get to build my house, you know, live with whoever I want to and meet all my furry four-legged children once I get there? And so these are the questions that I am constantly asking them. But I also interview a lot of psychics and mediums, and so I bug them as well because I can't get the answers. I have my tools, and then I bug them.
So you've never really got in touch with somebody from the afterlife?
Oh, I feel I have. I had a really there was a year where I did a 3-week EVP experiment. Do you know EVP?
No. Electronic voice.
Oh yes.
Yes, electronic voice phenomenon. Voice
thing, yeah.
Right, okay.
And so I was doing some heavy research with that, and I got rapping. You know, not like Tupac, but like, you know, knocking. Yeah. And I know you all are thinking I'm totally cray-cray now.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty skeptic myself. But I'm here to tell you that for like 3 days, I had a full-on conversation with a rapper.
You mean he was rapping like, I am knocking on the walls, and nice to talk to you, Patrick. That sort of thing.
I really wish it would have been like that because I would be rich. But it was...
Those rappers make a lot of money.
Yes.
Yeah. Could it have been, now don't take this the wrong way, could it have been somebody doing some, you know, housework or knocking the walls next door to you?
Could
it have been a neighbor?
I love this because these are the questions that I ask myself constantly, including like pipes in the wall. But these were very soft taps, but they were very responsive. Like they were obviously in response to questions. Now, was I clearly getting answers? No. I even went down the whole, okay, if the next letter's an A, tap. If the next letter's a B, tap. Because I started getting insane because I was like, shut up.
Do you believe in the afterlife, Patrick, yourself?
I have a pretty confident belief in the afterlife. Now, what people feel is communication from the afterlife, I'm pretty skeptic about, mostly.
I'm just wondering, because if you have, say, an operation, I don't know if you ever had an operation, somebody shoves the needle in your arm and you just go out, boom, like that. If you never woke up again, you wouldn't know, would you? So that's. I mean, I'd love to think there was an afterlife there, and you know, I'm welcomed into the well Burley heaven. Gates. Would be nice.
Burley Gates. But yeah, it's
Burley very Gates. Good singer, incidentally.
It's a very yeah. comforting idea to the afterlife, and I think that's probably why some skeptics think that it's not real because it was made up by man to comfort himself during life. But who's to say what life is anyway? We might be in some kind of afterlife. This is getting very deep, too deep. But the evidence is there, and you're collating this evidence and collecting it. And right now, you're the real only help we've got, because we really need to know an answer from someone who can't give the answer, and that is Gene Wilder. I'd like to know why Gene Wilder was following me.
Because you like chocolate, probably.
I do like chocolate. That is true.
And probably the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. That's now, got something to do with it.
So you guys have gathered the clues. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Patrick, have you ever had a chocolate orange?
I have never had a chocolate orange. I have a firm belief in not mixing delicious stuff with healthy stuff.
Oh, well, no, this is delicious. It's a solid chocolate ball in the shape of an orange.
Yeah, lovely.
And you whack it and it falls into segments. And they are fantastic.
Can't you get a chocolate orange in America then?
I've never heard of this.
It's like Twiglets. I love Twiglets, and you can't get them out. That's why, really, I wouldn't want to live in America, because you can't get Twiglets or an orange.
Have you ever had Twiglets?
And I've heard you guys talk about Twiglets, and I don't know anything about Twiglets.
Oh, well, they're an acquired taste. Us Brits like...
Sticks have of Marmite.
No.
Unbelievable.
No chocolate oranges, no Twiglets.
What do you have there that you like?
You know what?
Yeah, give us a snack. Give us a snack.
Reese's peanut butter cups. I could live off of my entire life.
Grace
peanut
likes
butter
them.
Cups. I don't.
They're quite rare, Tony, in the UK.
Patrick, you don't have any sweets at all.
Yeah, I love sweets, and as a professional fat man, I have had a lot of sweets. And so, trust me. Ask me about sweets. I just don't know about those Twiglets.
Well,
can you help me out with this? Because I don't know about the afterlife or anything like that, but I have experienced seeing a ghost.
Ooh,
yes, I have. And
tell us about it, Tom.
I still don't know if it really happened. I was about 17 years old. I was down in my bedroom and down in Poole in Dorset. And I remember looking up, and there was like a mask there, just a white mask. And I looked at it, and it was like a face pushed through a mask, you know, the thing that everybody says you see. And then it disappeared. And then the following night, exactly the same thing happened. So I don't know. I don't believe myself when I tell myself I saw that, but I did. What would that be, I wonder?
I can tell you I would be in the same situation because I have not seen things. That is the one category where I don't have experience. I don't have any visual evidence that my eyeballs have ever captured. And so I would be quite skeptic of that as well. I tend to just get audible things most of the time.
Mm. Let's go on to some questions then. So would it be possible? I mean, thing is, the afterlife, obviously, there's all the people that have ever existed in the afterlife. So billions and billions and billions of people. And that must be hard to wheedle out the famous ones, because surely there's not such a thing as celebrity in the afterlife, or maybe there is. So why is it, do you think, that celebrities, or you hear a lot of talk of celebrities coming forward, or are those just the interesting stories?
I don't even think that it has to be from celebrities, because what I start thinking about when you brought this up is there has been for some people a phenomenon of telephone calls from the dead for decades. And there is a great book by a great researcher in the UK that you all might even know, Callum Cooper. And he has written a book about telephone calls from the dead, but it's not the first one. And I think that if there have been telephone calls from the dead, if you make it a little more current to 2020, you know, why couldn't there be voicemail from the dead or email from the dead or tweeting from the dead? So I don't think it's that big of a stretch to wonder.
You mean to say in the afterlife you got a mobile phone and you
could
reverse one? Pardon?
I don't think they issue you. Like, St. Peter doesn't give you a contract.
No.
And, you know.
But you need a phone if you're going to make a phone call to somebody who's still alive, don't you?
No.
So, I mean, if somebody rung me, to be honest with you, Ricky, say you were in the afterlife, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right.
And I got this phone call and you were reversing the charges. I wouldn't accept them because you don't know how much it would cost, do you?
Well,
you could suddenly be lumbered with a massive bill.
You could have a massive bill, but I'm figuring that there are five senses. Okay, and everyone knows that when you walk near, you know, one of those electricity stations?
Yeah.
You can kind of feel electricity in the air, and maybe it's the easiest conduit to communicate using electronic devices. You hear stories of light bulbs flickering when there's a ghost about, something we can't quite...
Paranormal people like to discuss the word just energy.
Energy.
You know, so, energy.
So,
FaceTime, though, could they?
No. But they might be able to interfere with it.
What I don't understand, though, Ricky and Patrick, is that when you go to the afterlife, you leave your body here in the world. So when you get up there, how do you recognize anybody?
You know, that's one of the biggest questions that I have. One of the things that I hear from mediums, and of course, one of the most annoying things for me is that if you find 10 mediums, they'll give you 10 different explanations for why things happen or what happened. So that is an annoyance for me. But what I like to think is that you could choose.
Yeah, that's what I think, because I'd like to look like I did in 2015. I was at my best then. I'd been running. I was on TV a lot. I was looking good then. Tony, you'd probably choose 73.
I'd choose, if I would like a body for the afterlife, it would be Doris Day.
No, you can't choose someone else. Oh, maybe you can. Maybe you can go.
If you I could maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Doris Day to me, I mean, she looks lovely, much nicer than I look. And so, I look quite good in a dress. So I see no reason why I shouldn't have Doris Day's body.
Mm.
That's pretty deep.
And
it was deep for me.
And
everything's deep for me, actually. But you're talking about weird, actually, Patrick. You interviewed Uri Geller.
I did. And that was one of the most interesting experiences. And he had me hanging up from that call, looking around my room, asking if anyone was still listening.
Wow. I spent 2 weeks in the Australian jungle with him doing a program called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And And I sort of have my doubts about his power, to be honest with you, because he said that he knew Michael Jackson very well, and he hung a Michael Jackson shirt up, and we were celebrating Michael Jackson. He said, let's celebrate Michael Jackson's birthday, which is today. And it wasn't. And we all celebrated Michael Jackson's birthday. So I get a feeling he didn't have much. I don't think he was quite in touch with Michael Jackson.
Well, maybe he didn't have Wikipedia at that time. Yeah. He just couldn't look it up.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Well, no, I find Yuri Geller fascinating, but and you don't hear as much from him as you used to. What's he up to nowadays?
Well, can I just come in there? Because when we were in the jungle, you know, he bends spoons.
Yeah.
So we were issued with spoons for which were meant to last a fortnight, and he started bending them. The only thing that Yuri Geller can't do is he can't bend them back again. So we had to stop him doing it. I mean, everybody's spoons were being bent, and that's something he can't do, and that's what I don't understand, why he can't bend them back the way it was. It's basically, it's wrong to do that with people's spoons and cutlery. I wouldn't come into your house, Patrick, and bend your spoons and then just suddenly leave. Would you, Ricky?
No, that's why I only use chopsticks, just in case. So, back to the case. We need to get back onto Gene.
Well, I have some of my favorite tools here. And so what I did just last night is I did some investigating for you, the investigators. And I had three. I actually used four. I tried the Ouija board, but on my own, I stink at the Ouija board. So I didn't get anything for you there. I can't help you. But I did have the Spirit Box and the Echo Vox, which is an app. And then I also tried the Ovilus 5. And I have certain skepticism about all three of these tools, but they're fun. And sometimes you get things that you just can't deny. And so I asked some questions about Gene Wilder and even Doris Day for you, Tony. Ooh,
thank you.
I tried really hard to get her to serenade you. And I don't think I got anything groundbreaking, but I did get some interesting responses.
Let's hear.
I'm looking to help some investigators with information on Gene Wilder. Hello there. Do you know Gene Wilder? Did you hear that?
Someone said good enough.
Yes. Sounds like I said hello there.
Yeah.
Do you know Gene Wilder? And someone says good enough.
Yeah. But in a quite British accent.
Yes. Very bizarre.
Yeah. What was that funny noise going on?
So this is the Spirit Box that I'm using. And the Spirit Box, it scans through radio stations very quickly. So the idea, in theory, is if the spirit can use those energies and those frequencies and radio stations to either generate their own voice or use pieces of other voices coming out. So that's the theory. So there's some things you hear from a spirit box that you can immediately kick out. You know, you start hearing football scores or whatever. But then there are some things that might jump out to you. And that good enough really jumps out.
Have you got anything else there, Patrick, at all or not?
Yeah. So, this was interesting.
Oh, go on.
If I didn't get a hold of Gene or Doris, I got a hold of someone, and you'll hear them right here. Gene, are you still there? You're Nathan. Hi, Nathan. Do you know Ricky Wilson?
Yes, sir.
You do know Ricky. Give us a song from Ricky. What did you think about that?
Well, I heard him say, yes, I do.
Well, amazing.
Yeah, and I was curious to know if you have a song that sounds like whatever that he blurted out at the end. Did you hear that?
Yeah. And if not, I'm going to write one. I know this is going to sound weird. When you said give us a song, it sounded like, it sounded like my voice.
Stop it. Let me see if I can go and replay just that part.
Voice? You think that's you, Ricky?
Well, I know, because Ricky Wilson was always also the guitarist in the B-52s. So it might be a B-52s song, I don't know.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Give us a song from Ricky. That would be awesome if it was Love Shack.
Yeah. Rock Lobster.
Yeah.
So who is this Nathan then? Do you know somebody called Nathan, Ricky?
I do know someone called Nathan, but he's with us.
Ah, so he's not in the afterlife yet. Not as far as you know.
Yeah. I am going to take that clip and really study it.
Maybe Nathan. Do you think Nathan is the one that's tweeting?
But from Gene's Twitter account? Yeah.
Do you want to hear when I tried to contact Doris for you, Tony?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
All right. Ooh, I don't remember what happens here, but we're going to see.
Yeah.
Is Doris Day somewhere with you? Oh, Doris, your voice has changed. Doris Day, are you there? Doris, can you sing a song for Tony Blackburn? Are you there, Doris? Ooh, I heard a what? Doris, is that you? So how about that Tony Blackburn? He's handsome, isn't he?
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh. That was a female voice,
definitely
there, wasn't it?
Definitely a female presence.
It was a female voice, and I did hear some singing.
Yeah, definitely musical.
Yeah, wow. A little bit of singing, yeah. But I'm not totally convinced by that, actually, Patrick, to be absolutely honest with you.
I'm shocked.
I mean, if she'd come on and said, whip crack away, that would have been wonderful. And then I would have been totally.
But I think you would have been more skeptical if it was Doris Day's voice going, whip crack away, because you would have been like, well, he's just taken that recording. But this, I'm sold.
Sold? You think that was Doris?
Or someone being very kind to you and going, I'll throw him a bit of Doris just because it'll make him happy.
She seemed very nice. I mean, I've never met Doris.
But you have now.
You have now.
Well, I have now, yes. You're absolutely right. And she seemed to know me a little bit. I don't know how that happened.
You're a world-famous DJ, Tony.
Patrick, can I just ask you, do you think that you can get back in touch with your dogs and things like that and cats? Because I had a lovely little dachshund called Winnie, and I'd love to be able to talk to her again.
In my version of the afterlife, you will definitely be seeing Winnie.
Fabulous.
Thank you very much there, Patrick. It's great to speak to you. What's your podcast called?
It is the Big Seance Podcast. It can pretty much be found anywhere you listen to a podcast.
Patrick, thank you very much.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
I want to ask you a very personal question, if you don't mind. Are you anxious?
All the time.
Struggling to focus? I mean, who isn't right now? I'm bringing new calm to your day with Grass & Co. CBD oil. I don't know if you've tried it.
I have, Tony. Grass & Co. It's a premium CBD range that blends the highest quality CBD with therapeutic botanical ingredients. See, I'm pretty clued up about this stuff, Tony.
You are clued up, yeah.
And I've tried them all, and they're brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I find it really difficult to sleep at night, and they've got a product for that. You just spray it on the pillow, and you're off to sleep. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I like rubbing it in.
You always have done, haven't you?
Yeah, I have done. But yeah, I've got my sciatic nerve, as yours is, plays up quite a lot. And if I just rub it where it hurts, I find that very therapeutic.
Well, when the lockdown is sort of over and we can visit one another again, I don't mind coming around with some of this wonderful Grass & Co. CBD oil and rubbing it in for you.
Thank you. There was that one time we were undercover, we were on a stakeout, and we were in a car trying to be quiet, and you were moaning with the pain. And so I just leant over to the back seat where you like to reside, rubbed you with CBD, and you stopped moaning.
Well, what I love about CBD oil, some CBD oils can taste really, really not very nice, but this one tastes lovely, pepperminty, and it's great. It's wonderful. I love it.
It sounds like you're reading an advert there, but I actually do agree with that because I used to have one that I put under my tongue and it felt like I'd like licked a grocer's shop floor. And now it feels like I'm walking through a meadow.
My routine is I get up in the morning, I put 3 drops under my tongue, hold it there for about 90 seconds because it seeps in, and then swallow it. And then I sometimes, not always, sometimes at midday I do the same, and certainly at nighttime because it does relax you so much.
Find your lockdown calm with grassandco.com. The calm CBD range includes botanicals, evening primrose, ashwagandha, chamomile, marula and mint to bring back balance to your day.
Delicious.
We've got a special offer for you, haven't we, Tony? Special offer.
We have got a special offer. Do you want to tell everybody about it, Ricky?
Of course I will. Find your calm with 25% off and free shipping at grassandco.com/pod. pop. That's /pop. Hey, you know what a lot of people ask, Tony?
What's
about
that?
When they're taking something like this, quality testing. Now, I think this is important because Grass & Co. are the CBD wellness experts. They only use the best of the best organic CBD and botanicals. The products work with your body to deliver uplifting results you can feel instantly. All the ingredients, Tony, are sourced ethically and go through rigorous lab tests to test the CBD content.
Very, very important, because you want to know what you're putting under your tongue, don't you?
Safety is important. Grass & Co. CBD oils contain no trace of THC. Now, that's the stuff that makes you loopy. So, we don't have to sell it on the sly anymore, Tony.
That's terrific.
We can sell it on our podcast.
Yep, and while we're doing our investigations, we can be nice and relaxed about it.
Always relaxed. We don't have to do our podcast in the bath anymore, do we? Because that's how we used to get relaxed.
Well, actually,
yeah,
I have. So I don't know if you've got any of the CBD oil, but if you get in a bath,
you can put
there
it in.
There it is.
I didn't get that.
Didn't you get that?
No, I didn't get. I didn't get that.
I should have shown you that.
No, I got the stuff under your tongue, and I got the muscle rub, and another bottle I haven't investigated yet. Oh, right. I'd like the bath.
That's that one. Discover CBD today. Visit grassandco.com for a better day.
It is. And remember, the special offer. Find your calm with 25% off and free shipping at grassandco.com/pop. Pop.
Can I do that as well?
You can do that. Can you pop?
Thank you.
Wow. Grass & Co. Life enhanced by nature.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So, Tony, I really enjoyed listening to Patrick, and I love that side of it.
Yeah.
But I think we need to start dealing with facts and chat to somebody who can give us some cold, hard ones, if so to speak. Somebody who's an expert in Twitter itself. I know this guy. He's our social media security expert. He's called Drew Benvey.
Hmm.
And let's try and get him on a conference call, shall we?
Great idea.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Are you there, Drew?
I am. Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
I'm very good. We've got Tony here. Tony, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Tony. Nice to meet you, Tony. How are you?
Very well. Very well, thanks. Excellent. We've just been talking to an American who's never experienced orange chocolate. Well, those lovely little orange... What are they called?
Terry's chocolate.
Do you like them?
Yeah. Oh, I love them. I think growing up, it always used to be in the Christmas stocking, Santa stocking. Yeah. So for me, it's a bit of a treat, actually. Maybe we should set up an internet store that sells them out there in the US. Take it
good
by
idea.
Storm.
What's your feelings on Twiglets?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I quite like them. Just not into. I'm glad the packets are small. Yeah. They're a bit much for me, but.
Yeah. So you're a social media expert. Is that what you like to be called, or do you have a snappier title?
Oh no, I mean that's one way of calling what I do. Yeah, I work with people and companies to help them use it better. Sometimes that means if someone's been hacked, rescuing them. Usually it's to help promote something, you know, like companies got things to promote, people got things to promote. I've worked with some celebrities from time to time, but usually it's companies. It's relatively straightforward stuff, but as a byproduct of that, I've spent more time than anyone would care to imagine on the internet. So
I actually had my Twitter account hacked a couple of weeks ago.
Did you, Tony?
And just changed the password and it seemed to have worked all right. That obviously does it, doesn't it, Drew?
It does. It does, because one thing that can happen is another account has been hacked, like an email, an old email. So sometimes an old account of yours that you don't use anymore might have the same password as a new one, and it might be a Twitter account. And then people hack into it, and they do it to make money through spam. Sometimes they want to spread disinformation. Sometimes they just want to take hold of a high profile individual's account, like yours, Tony. I mean, you've got a fair few followers there, so I can imagine they they could have done some damage. So well done for getting it back.
I'm glad they're stopping spam, because I'm a vegetarian.
Well, there you go.
Ricky, I was born in the last 2 years of the Second World War.
1943.
Before I became a vegetarian, I ate quite a lot of spam, I gather.
Maybe. Yeah.
Not now. I wouldn't touch it.
we have you got any advice? Because we've got a Twitter account, me and Tony, and it's Ricky and Tony Pod. But we need more followers. Have you got any good advice for people how to get their followers up?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I think sharing great quality content really does work, because you can use every trick in the book. And if you haven't got any of that, we can wrap it up now. No, I'm just kidding. That actually, you guys both use social media. I've checked you out
a lot. Yeah,
yeah. And good quality content makes people come back.
I found that I can tell the best joke in the world and put it on Twitter and it gets a few likes and a few retweets. But if I just put a picture of my dog up, it goes mental.
Oh, people love...
So Twitter loves a dog.
They love... Yeah, absolutely. They love a bit of your personal life as well. So I'd always... I mean, so long as it's not too private, share a bit of what you're up to, a photo of you doing something, make your own account really interesting.
My wife, Debbie, always says hashtag everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to use a good hashtag and you've got to make it relevant. Otherwise, you're kind of bandwagoning and you tend to get a lot of spammers using a hashtag. It kind of pollutes it down. So make it real. Keep it real.
Why do they want to hack an account anyway? I mean, in Twitter, what's the point?
Well, if you look at the data, Facebook, they publish all of the reasons they have to delete accounts for having done bad stuff. And the highest, the most often cited cause is spam. They just want to send out spam, right. Making money through links, through viruses, that kind of thing. But something that's definitely on the rise, Tony, and it's something that we'll see a lot of right now is disinformation. There are a lot of people out there in the world that just want to spread false rumours to cause problems in society at large. It's a big issue. And the social networks are trying to delete as much of that as possible, but it just keeps coming. And one of the ways they do it is they hack into high-profile accounts because it spreads the message.
So in a way, if somebody hacks into your account, it's quite nice, really, isn't it? I mean, it's flattering.
Have you had your account hacked,
Ricky?
Well, no, because someone could hack in and say something like, I know, Ollie Murs' new album out now, try and spread that message through my...
You reckon Ollie Murs is trying to hack into your account, or...?
Well, I don't know.
Particularly now that we're all in isolation and everything, and Ollie presumably is in isolation somewhere, he's probably got a little bit of time on his hand and said, well, what shall I do? Let's make Ricky's life a little bit more tricky.
So do we know what Gene Wilder's Twitter name was? So I can type
out. So, I mean... What I've done is I've taken a little look, because you've asked me to take a look at Gene Wilder on Twitter. And what I've done is I've gone through, I usually go through five little, a checklist of five steps to figure out, is someone a hacker or a faker, or is it really this person? Because I think what you wanted to do was find out, did the real Gene Wilder follow you, Ricky? And I've done some investigation. So,
thank you so much.
So first things first, we found this account that we think might be Gene Wilder's account. And it is Official Gene Wilder. That's the username. But the word official is spelt wrong. It's got no I in it. So it's a fickle Gene. Gene.
Right.
That's what we think is Gene Wilder. So I've taken a look at it. And the first thing I check is, does this person have the blue tick? Because if they've got the blue tick, the social network has verified it's them. Now, this account does not. Doesn't mean it's not Gene, but that's the first check. And I'm a bit suspicious. I think it might not have been him. So just to point a few basics out, Gene Wilder sadly passed away 4 years ago. And this account was active 3 years before that, in 2013. So this theoretically could have been Gene. Now, the second check is behaviour. Is their behaviour real? Now, I've taken a look. 7 tweets. It's not many. It kind of makes it look like he tried it out and kind of got a bit bored.
not a prolific tweeter.
Not prolific. I mean, Ricky, you've tweeted about 11,000 times. And Tony, you've tweeted 80,000. So you guys are all over Twitter.
80,000 tweets, 80,000, Tony. Yeah. What? Wow.
I have more. I've tweeted more than actually the amount of followers I've got, I think.
Well, yeah, Tony, you've been on Twitter the longest out of all of us, 11 years and 1 month.
Wow.
And Ricky, you're not far behind, 10 years and 10 and a half years. So the second check I did was his behavior. And to me, he's using it in an authentic way. He tweeted, even though it wasn't very often, he tweeted at roughly 9 to 11 a.m. and at 10 p.m. Now, that's authentic. That's probably not a hacker or a spammer. So the third check is the username. Now, he has a strange username. So I tried typing into Twitter, Gene Wilder. Now, Gene Wilder's taken. It's taken by somebody else who's not Gene. And that can often happen if someone else has got that account.
Yeah, I had that problem.
I tried typing in official Gene, like spelling it the right way. Now, that account has been suspended, which makes me think someone did try pretending they were Gene Wilder, but they got suspended as a result. So to me, that suggests that we might actually have the real Gene Wilder on our hands. Then I looked at who he follows. Now, I thought that was a bit strange because he only follows 13 people. Most of them seem legit. He follows Mel Brooks, Tom Hanks, Dick Van Dyke. You know, it's like the old crowd. He follows you. He follows
it's a great
you.
Bowling team.
Oh yeah, totally. We have got one right here. He follows Ricky, obviously, but then he follows two UK-based dog charities. Now that is a bit strange. That makes me think that this account, whether it was or wasn't really Gene in the beginning, it might have been hacked. And because Gene is sadly no longer with us, he's not been able to get it back. Now, this is a very common hack, which is called, I'm going to get technical now, but it's called credential stuffing. And it is when hackers, they go on the dark web and they buy millions of usernames and passwords, and they use software to try and hack into anything they can get their hands on online. I've had it happen to me. Tony, it sounds like you've had it happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's happened to Gene because he's following things that I don't think the real Gene would have followed, such as guide dogs and hearing dogs for deaf people charities. So
he did do a film about deaf people, deaf and blind people.
Did he?
Yeah, Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Well, that what a classic.
Yeah, what happens I'm pulling the straws here.
What actually happens when you go when you're on Twitter and you are no longer, in other words, you passed on, does that account... How do you get rid of it? I mean, how does somebody else get rid of it?
It's there forever. It's really difficult, Tony. I think one thing that Twitter recently did was that they announced any account that had been inactive for more than a year, they were going to delete its content and make that username free for others to use, hoping that an old disused account would just be re-released. But this was a really big outcry from people who said, no, actually, I have a relative who died or a close friend, and I want to preserve their account forever. It's almost like an online memorial, really. And so, and that's what happens. They stay. Yeah,
I see.
I like that because I started following Gene Wilder, a fickle Gene, he died. Just as like a, I don't know, something just for me, really, just to say,
I mean, I've dug around. He's got no blue tick, but he seems authentic. Yeah. He's got a strange username, but I can see that others were taken. He looks like he may have been hacked, but maybe not. And I think there's one really comprehensive way to find out, and that would be to actually, if you look at his tweets, he's talking about how his assistant was helping him. If we could find his assistant, they could tell us for sure. But I don't think your sleuthing will go quite that far, so I've got a bit of a shortcut for you, Ricky, and that is a little piece of software that I've sent you. And if you log in and click a few buttons, it should tell you exactly when Gene followed you. So, and if he followed you in roughly the year 2013... Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was really him that did it.
Okay, he followed me on the 3rd of the 11th, 2014.
Ooh.
At 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Well, 7:09 p.m.
Right.
13 seconds.
Well, so, I mean, he was alive when that happened, so it could have been him. Yeah. He wasn't tweeting anymore at that time, I don't think. So we've almost definitely got proof that Gene Wilder was a fan of Ricky.
Wow.
Okay, this is good news, but I'd like to know why.
I would love, and maybe you can come back to this in a future episode of your podcast, Ricky, I'd love to see if we can actually find people that knew him that could tell us a little bit more about whether this was really him, because I think we've got the real Gene Wilder on our hands.
I think actually, Ricky, you've just got to accept the fact that Gene Wilder was a big fan. I think you've got to come to terms with this, and I think it's very, very flattering.
Yeah, but why, Tony?
Well, because he likes your music, he likes you. I mean, like I love you, and he presumably, although he hadn't met you like I have, he obviously saw something in you through your music that he loved, and he followed
you. I'd like to think he was thinking about doing a reboot of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I was the person he was looking at to play Willy Wonka, or maybe the grown-up Charlie, and that's why he was doing a bit of research.
I don't think he ever saw you as a Willy Wonka. I really don't. Otherwise, he wouldn't have followed you.
Did you think he saw me as a proper Charlie?
Possibly. I don't know. We're going into the realms of fantasy here, aren't we?
Well, my real name is Charles.
Charles? My gosh, this gets even more interesting, doesn't it?
It's deep. So what we've assessed, he followed me, but we don't know why.
Correct.
And we can only really get to the bottom of that if we get to someone close to Gene, which I think would be inappropriate because there are bigger questions in the world for them. Not for me. It's a big question for me, but for them, I don't feel comfortable getting such thing. Did he ever mention middle of the road indie bands that much? what I'd be horrified to find out is I was talking to Tony earlier about following people you actively dislike. And I do this quite a lot, especially on Instagram, because I enjoy feeling negative feelings towards people posting pictures and even looking at their houses and criticizing them slowly, you know, just to myself. I never at them or do that. I just like to dislike on the internet. And it would really hurt my feelings if he really didn't like me.
Ignorance is bliss. I think you can sleep safely tonight, Ricky, in the knowledge that when Gene Wilder was alive, his Twitter account followed you.
I only wonder, because he followed Occupy Wall Street, but he also followed the Stock Exchange. So I'm thinking he followed Dick Van Dyke and maybe thought of me as the anti-Dick Van Dyke.
Wouldn't worry about that. I don't think that's true at all.
Okay. No, really well, don't. Thank you very much, Drew. You've helped us a lot.
Yes,
analytics have been eye-opening. It was nice because we spoke to a guy that was involved in seances and mediums, and then we got the facts from you. So it was nice yin and yang. And thank you very much for being part of the podcast today.
Well, pleasure, Ricky. Pleasure, Tony. Nice to speak to you both.
Thank you very much, Drew.
With his brains and his looks, they could go places. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So, Ricky, summing it up, what do you think? It's a mystery, this one, isn't it? I mean, well, did Gene Wilder follow you or not? I don't
know.
Well,
I think we've got to the bottom of the mystery that he did follow me.
Yes.
So we've cleared that up. But what we haven't cleared up, which was the crux of it, is why. Now, I don't like to admit defeat, Tony, so I think we should look into this further. But for the time being, I've no idea why Gene Wilder followed me. And I'm going to have to listen to those recordings from Beyond the Grave to really look into that. I'm going to have to look into what my tweet was just before he started following me.
Yeah,
maybe it was pertinent to him or something. But at the moment, we're no closer.
Sort of summing it up, really, this is the first case that we haven't 100% solved.
Yeah. Well, we don't actually have a stamp that says case unsolved.
No.
So we're going to have to just use the case solved, and I'll put a little marker next to it saying more investigation required. M-I-R. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. I hope it doesn't put off people asking us what they want to investigate, because, you know, you can't be 100% the whole time. We have been so far, but this is the first case that it really is a mystery.
But if people did want to ask us to investigate their myths, then they can always get in touch, can't they, Tony?
They can. One of the ways is rickyandtony.com.
Yep.
Or you can send an email to podcast@rickyandtony.com.
Yep.
And you can find us on Twitter @RickyandTonyPod.
Yeah, and we'll try our best to make those cases as clear-cut as possible and solve them, unlike this one.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Tony, for having me, as usual.
A pleasure, and I just want to say that I'm really, really very impressed by your work so far.
Oh, thank you very much indeed.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.